You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on SiriusXM Channel 99. My name is Noam Dworman. I'm the owner of The Comedy Cellar. We're at the back table in The Comedy Cellar. And because this is a special day, I'm going to let Dan do the introductions today because I'm sure he's going to do it more justice than I. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, back from his Parisian tour, a friend of the show, he's been on before, is Gad Elmaleh, who has been gone now some 2 months, I think.
Yeah.
So we are glad to have him back.
Thank you.
Bringing his French,
thank you.
French touch.
I haven't spoken English for 3 months.
Okay, well, it'll come back to you.
Yeah.
It's like riding a bike.
Gad, you missed. And we also have Esty, the booker at the Comedy Cellar here. She was in Paris with Gad. Nobody knows exactly what's going on between
enough
them.
Fair. That's enough fair. That's enough fair.
Liaison.
Did Gad invite you to Paris, Esty, or did you just go?
None of my business.
Okay. the French tabloids are all abuzz. Who is this new woman in Gad's life?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, of course. Hello.
Was there a lot of paparazzi action?
Yeah, a lot of paparazzi for Esty. Yeah, for Esty, running down the streets of Paris.
We have
running away.
I just would like to first address the changes that have been made at the Comedy Cellar, Gad, since you left. We have
Dan, can you just do me one thing?
Go ahead.
You, for the listeners, fill them in a little bit about Gad and who he is?
That's
and
a good idea.
His resume.
It's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, I was going to ask you this.
I'm glad I thought of it. Gad is, we say this, a lot of people come to America and claim to be big stars in their home countries. And we're always a little skeptical. But Gad Elmaleh.
Jeff Leach is not a big star in England?
No, I don't believe so.
This is what you did when you came to Paris.
Well, I had. Yes. And the internet, unfortunately, sunk my efforts. But, you can't get away with that anymore like you used to. But Gad really is enormous. I mean, cannot walk the streets without being molested.
And vice versa.
In the European sense of the term molest.
Especially when you walk with Esty down the street.
There was a couple in the microphone. There was a couple that wanted a picture with Gad, and they had a 2-year-old with them. And they put the 2-year-old down to take a picture. The 2-year-old ran away.
I swear,
but they got the picture.
No, they said, but the baby. They said, no, we take the picture.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That should make you feel good.
Unbelievable.
Well, Gad was not content to be a star in France because I guess he feels that America is the home of stand-up. And so he's come here to cast his lot with us Yankees and try his luck as a stand-up in America. And he's a regular here at the Comedy Cellar. And from what I hear, he has audiences laughing heartily, even though his English is not his first language.
Voila. That's a good resume.
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, I want to point out, Gad, I don't know if you've noticed, when you were away, we had no kitchen when you left.
Yeah.
And we have a kitchen now. We have a whole new menu.
I think people who are listening right now are very interested and very passionate about the kitchen.
They are because I've been ranting and raving about where's the damn kitchen.
Yeah. But Dan, that was your concern. Honestly, and you're my friend, but I try to have many conversations about so many different subjects with you, and you always...
Go
back to the kitchen and the cellar. It's like, I think the Trump thing was not at that level for you. It's like the kitchen was something.
I can't do anything about the Trump thing, but with enough harassing, I did get that kitchen finished.
Make the olive tree great again.
And I do want to bring up one thing. Maybe Gad doesn't feel it's important, but why do you call the peel and eat shrimp, peel and eat shrimp? We'll get more to it.
Peel and eat chicken.
Chicken, I mean.
Listen, don't ask me because I'm aggravated about the kitchen. I'm aggravated about the menu. I'm aggravated about the way the food's coming out. Nothing's going well.
I don't think there's a such thing as peel and
eat
chicken.
Well, you can peel it or not, but don't tell me how to eat my chicken.
What are you peeling? The chicken doesn't have a peel.
Really? Then?
There's skin on the chicken. You can peel it if you want.
What?
But guys, let me ask you something about the table. What happened with the table now? There was a whole thing with the table, right?
Oh, the whatever.
Esty, you're
called.
Taking me too seriously. I was kind of being lighthearted about the chicken. Yeah, the table. We'll get to the table. Okay, that didn't work out so good.
Yeah, you should. you should explain the table thing.
Well, yes. The table.
The reorganization.
The table is that. the table at the Comedy Cellar, which is reserved for the comedians, where we all sit around and talk. And it's been moved a little bit, but it's
not anymore. Now it's back.
Well, it was Noam had moved it, and it was a little more cramped. And then Louis C.K. complained. Was that it?
No.
This is what happened. When we hired the people to do their kitchen
renovation.
But guys,
I'm sorry, Noam, to interrupt. Sure. I need to tell to our listener about that table. Because when I first arrived here in New York City and the cellar, je n'osais pas, how you say?
I didn't dare.
Dare to go to that table. Even though you can be a big
macher
somewhere, you don't go to that table easily. That's a problem, right? You need to be accepted, right? What is the rule?
Well, the rule is it's for Comedy Cellar comedians only can sit there.
Okay.
Or chicks that Comedy Cellar comedians are trying to have sex with. Is the unwritten
maybe
rule.
That's why. Maybe that's why. Because I brought many girls. That's why.
It's the same rule that every rule has a hot chick exception. I think throughout the world, in every context, there's a hot
politics
chick exception.
Now, Esty,
you really don't need to say it.
Esty can't stand when some of these chippies hang out at the table. I think she can't stand it. I feel that energy when it happens.
It's not a question of not can't stand it. It defeats the purpose. Because for you, it's a casual thing. Take them to another table and do whatever you want to do. There's a room for our comics.
I think Gad is
and
trying
that's
to...
That's what it is.
That's fair.
Gad
that's
is trying
fair,
to
but sometimes the chick just sits down. I don't have the heart to tell her to beat it because I'm trying to get into her pants.
Well, that's your problem.
Yeah.
Gad is trying to impart
the vibe
and the importance of the table in the industry and in the
of course. People are afraid of the table. Gad, as big a star as he is... In France, comes to New York, and is an unknown, a virtual unknown, and felt that intimidation when he came.
That's
in.
It. No, I used to. Now that's it.
Well, now you're part of the family. So much so that you invited Esty to your house in Paris, an invitation that I've yet to receive, and I've been to Paris several times.
No, but listen, I swear I missed the cellar so much, and she saw me, and I told her I was doing those shows for arenas. She come to Paris, 12,000 people. I walk off the stage. I said to Esty, I want to go back to the cellar. I want to see it with the guys. I want to see Dan, I want to see Noam, and I want to see the comedians. I want to talk. They're all crazy.
Play the Dumbek.
Play the Dumbek, the Darbuka.
Darbuka.
Not making money, it's a good thing.
Keeps you humble.
Well, but Gad, you obviously replenished the coffers in France. I'm not going to get into your financial affairs. It's none of my business. But I saw, if you saw a photo, you go online, you see these Instagram posts. These are stadiums that he's filling up.
Yeah, I saw. Esty's show me the pictures.
You know,
I took a picture of the...
The Bercy, yeah.
I refused to look at Esty's pictures, though.
Oh, stop it.
I didn't.
What do you mean?
I said, Esty, she starts showing me, pictures inside the museum. I said, Esty, I don't want to see anything that I can see on a postcard or on the internet.
I want to see God.
I want to see pictures of people I know or nothing at all. I don't want to see like...
Don't.
And this is Louis XV, 14th chandelier. And this is... I don't want to see these fucking pictures, Esty. Who can sit through these pictures?
But that's what you go to Paris for also.
That's so funny.
Okay, you're such a farmer.
So uncultured. They have no culture. But
you're a better man than I. I like vacation pictures when I see the people I know. Like I don't want to see a picture of the Eiffel Tower unless Gad is holding it by the tip of it. That's a great picture. Gad is dangling the Eiffel Tower between his thumb and forefinger. That's a picture.
That's a picture.
The Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, you don't want to see that. No.
Well, we mentioned briefly what Gad's most recent tour in it was a little something different. This is kid in France. He's about 25. His name is Kev Adams. It's not his real name, obviously. Kev Adams is not a French
Kev
name.
Kev his real name?
His name is not
Kevin Smadja. He's a Jew from from Tunisia, Sephardi Jew.
Well, he's about 25, and the kids love him, and he's a big star there. So Gad is on tour with him. It's like a
Wait cross... a second. Hold
I'm
on
sorry.
A second.
I'm sorry, Esty.
When Kev was a very, very young kid. How old?
Yeah.
12? He was a huge fan of Gad.
Yeah,
and actually they closed the show with a video that for Christmas
for
or something.
Christmas, yeah, it's a very moving.
Yeah, tell them this.
We call it not just the whole story in that show. He was a big fan, and then he ends up doing the show with me. Anyway, to make a long story short, at the end of the show, we show this footage of Kev. He's like 10 years old, and with the Christmas tree and the whole thing, and it's him. And he opens the presents, Christmas presents, and he opens a cassette.
Video cassette, VHS, of my show.
And it says God.
And then it's like, wow, I have.
He was so happy. Yeah. You should see it.
It's amazing. That's fantastic.
It's real. Yeah, it's real. Yeah. But go back to Dan.
Fast forward, being a fan.
They're on tour together. It's like a cross-generational tour. They do a lot of jokes about how Gad is, you know, I won't say old, but older. Older. Actually, Gad is younger than me, oddly enough. But in any case, he's... I find it weird because Gad is such a... You know, he's so big and he's got a family and I feel like I haven't done a whole lot in my life, but...
Compared to Gad, you haven't.
Well, no, that's true.
No. But I have to say, now that I'm listening
but
to
I
you,
But I do
Dan,
have the uncle joke, which he doesn't have. The joke about...
No, you improved a lot with the radio thing. Now, you seem very, very...
relaxed
and comfortable. And
well,
what
I was good. The last time, maybe I didn't have a good day. You caught me on one day. Of course, anybody can have an off day. We all have off days. I've been good, I think.
Maybe because Harrison was here. You were a little...
You know what it was? Harrison was here, and I wanted to talk about him being gay, but he wasn't into it, and it was
the
a weird
first thing.
I was text messaging with Harrison today, by the way. Go ahead.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was trying to find a kid's magician for my daughter's birthday
you
party.
You thought of Harrison?
He's a magician. He's a magician.
But the first thing God said to me... Gad and Sebastian, but Gad says to me, when is he going to come
Sebastian,
out?
You mean Gad's
manager.
Is he a manager or is he a bodyguard?
It's
like an American... That could happen only in America, but it happened in France. The guy who was a security guy, then became a driver, then assistant, and then manager. Only in America, this thing...
Sebastian's the scariest French guy
really
you've ever seen.
He really works hard for you.
Oh, yeah.
He really does.
He's a scary-looking dude, though, am I right?
Yeah. He looks like a skin...
He's a scary-looking French guy.
Skinhead.
No, but he's very nice, very sweet. And you know what I like? If you write him, immediately you get a response.
You never get this in France from anyone.
I love that. That's how I work.
By the way, Gad, I pointed this out a couple weeks ago. You know, as comics, we often go on stage and say, where are you from? And I have jokes about Europe, so I say, are there any Europeans in the house? Well, before you started coming, we got our fair share of Swedes and Danes, and they're still here. God bless them. But I've noticed in recent months, every night there's French people here. And I think either we've got foie gras on the menu, but I didn't see it.
It's peony foie gras.
Gad did a spit take.
Or it's because Gad keeps posting shit on Instagram about the Comedy Cellar.
No, the good thing would be that I tell them I was born in Morocco, and then you'll have couscous and foie gras. But that's true. I mean, that's true. I see more and more French people coming to the cellar. I don't know if it's because I posted a lot.
I think it's got to be.
I think it's because it's Dan Natterman. You performed in France a lot.
I have done.
They probably see your name, and they come down to see you.
He is the American ambassador of comedy.
I am the American ambassador of comedy, but I don't have millions of Instagram followers, as does Gad. And when he posts, I'm going to be at the Comedy Cellar, all his French fans see this. They come to New York, or the ones that already live in New York, and they come here. I'm assuming Gad is putting money into your pocket.
Can I tell you something about when French people are here with all... Comment tu dis avec tout le respect?
With all the respect.
Respect I have for my fans, French fans. I like when there are no French in the audience. I like it when it's only Americans, and I want to earn those laughs, and it's not easy. You don't like to go on stage and they go, ooh, before you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're not here to perform for French people. You're here to perform for Americans.
That's a good conclusion.
That makes sense.
I think it's smart. I think it was...
But there's never...
I think you really speak English.
Yes. But Gad is back.
He's saying something interesting that he get that,
yeah,
that
no,
when
I know.
When they recognize him and they know he's famous, he gets a boost from that, which actually camouflages or gives is artificial. And he wants to know the unadulterated quality of his performance.
But there's never a ton of French people here. It's usually there's just maybe a couple of of groups of French people. It's mostly American.
But what I like is when then I'm done, you know, I did my set, I come up here and I talk to some American girls and French people, they ask me for pictures. You know, it's a good thing for the American girl. Then she can
see who she's dealing with.
Yeah, it's a lot better than you having to tell her you're famous.
And they go, so what?
Yeah, because Gad doesn't say on stage when he does his act in English, he'll never say, nor should he, I don't think.
But maybe, I think I should say.
Maybe he never says I'm a big star in France because it would sound pretentious.
No, but maybe there's a way maybe to talk about that.
But it is interesting because what you're doing is very interesting, and it is an interesting angle. The fact that you're big over there, and an unknown over here is interesting. And yet, if he talks about being a star over there, it will sound pretentious. No, many ideas.
Yes. I'm sure he could find a way to put it out there in a way that doesn't sound arrogant.
Yeah. If it's self-deprecating, like I got here and it's totally anonymous, nobody talks to me, and I'm stopping people down the streets. I don't know, but it would be interesting.
Other comics do talk about being famous. I think, like they'll.
Because people can relate, they know they're famous.
Right.
But if you talk about being famous and nobody knows you're famous somewhere on the planet, it's going to be
awkward. It's good. It's a difficult thing, and yet your story is an interesting one.
Look, you know, Trevor Noah has the same phenomenon.
Exactly.
He's so famous in South Africa, he doesn't talk about it. In his book, he says, "I was born a crime." He's talking about all other stuff. Not in none of the interviews, he mentions what a big star he is there.
Why?
I don't know.
That's funny. I was on his show, and Trevor told me, we have a similar journey. You were born in North Africa. I was born in South Africa. You're very famous in your country. Then you came to America. You did this. You do stand-up. And then I said, the only difference is I had to learn English.
good point.
Because, you know, they speak English over there. And that was the hardest part, you know?
And it's not only the language, it's just the humor itself is different.
I'm not sure.
I mean, you know the words, but the nuance is different.
Yeah, humor travels, but language is different.
How did you make your entree to the knowing Seinfeld and these other important American comedians? Did they know about you first? How did that happen?
I think there's something natural when you're doing something and you are important, I would say.
Important?
In your own country, it becomes like easier to meet, you know,
you get like all the people at the upper echelon. It's like they're all in the executive lunchroom.
Like
together.
I know who's the number one comic in Italy. I know who's the number one comic in Germany. Michael Mittermeier. I know Checco Zalone in Italia. I know the Russians. I know Israeli. Who's number one in Israel?
I have no idea.
Chacha Hassan?
No. Guri Alfi. I think it's kind of, you know, so ambassadors. They know, they don't know each other, but they immediately connect.
How did you meet Seinfeld then? Did he come to one of your shows? You went to his show?
No, because he directed a movie, animated movie called The B Movie.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Katzenberg, DreamWorks produced, and they asked me to do Jerry's voice in French. So they came to Cannes. I was a big fan of Jerry, and I said, I want to meet with Jerry. So we met, and we became friends, and voila.
So you did the voice?
I did the voice, yeah.
Did you know that?
I did.
I did the voice. And now I'm doing another voice for an American movie, third time, troisième épisode.
Third episode.
Yeah, it's called Despicable Me.
Gad knows all the difficult words in English, but the simpler words he has to ask.
Which character
are
you?
How do you say important?
Gru, the main character, Gru.
Yeah, Gru.
Oh, that's you?
Yeah,
wow.
In French. It's Steve Carell in English.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I told them, you gave me three times this character. I want for the next one in the American version something in the American version.
Absolutely.
I don't want to be only the French guy. Yeah. The, you know.
Mm-hmm. You've got a tour now coming up in English.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're doing
a tour and Carnegie Hall February 11. And I'm going to be, touring. I'm going to New Orleans. Never been before. I'm thinking about New Orleans.
You are
going to
love it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know, I'm passionate with the music. Have you been? I'm sure.
Yeah, not a long time.
And I can't wait to go there. Never been to Louisiana and many other places in Texas and all. It's good.
Are you playing Carnegie Hall as part of the New York Comedy Festival? What is
no.
it?
No.
But you're producing the show?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not producing the show, but I have my producers, and yeah, we're doing the show.
That must feel like $1 million to be playing Carnegie Hall. That's the most prestigious thing you can do, right?
Incredible.
Yeah, amazing.
I'm very excited, very honored, and it's like the Olympia in Paris. It's like a legendary room, iconic.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's great.
Congratulations.
That's wonderful. Yeah,
it's good.
And would you expect the audience to be half American and half French people that live here?
I just expect the room to be full.
Well, we hope it is.
That's it.
It will be.
But we sold. We already sold 2,000 tickets, and it's
how many does Carnegie Hall hold? Like 3,000.
Almost 2,700.
Oh, so you're almost sold out already.
Yeah,
since
it's almost. Yeah.
Wow,
it's fun. It's great.
That's very impressive.
Merci. Toda rabba.
I don't think
don't take this the wrong way, but who's opening for you at Carnegie Hall?
I'm taking it the wrong way.
No. Yeah.
Maybe Jerry. I don't know. Maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Maybe Jerry. Maybe.
You open for
I need
him.
To see his new stuff. I'm not sure.
Not sure if he's up to snuff.
I'm not sure.
Well, how about emceeing? Who's it? I'm trying to get Dan some
work. Trying to shoehorn me.
That's he telling me. No. He knows I'm kidding around. Sort of. Yeah. What's the matter, Esty?
Gad's on the phone. Are you?
I was checking my, because this is my American phone. And I don't get many texts. I don't get anything, you know? And in my, how you say, repertoire, you know?
Repertoire.
He always
no. No. Repertoire is, so what is a repertoire?
A repertoire.
Are you a direct directory?
Where you have all your contacts?
Yeah.
Oh no. Well,
no.
You would say my contact list.
Okay.
I'm going to say repertoire.
Oh, okay.
It's way better than contact list.
No, repertoire is in the music. You have like this song and this song. It's your repertoire, right?
Yeah. And it's the same thing for your contact list?
No.
What's the contact list called?
Repertoire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the same word.
It's the same word.
I didn't know that. Well, that's one word I didn't know. But by the way, when you left, that was before Trump got elected president.
Yeah.
So what's the buzz over there in France regarding?
The buzz is very, it's very interesting because it's like here, people are very shocked, very devastated. They made videos on social media, post themselves crying. It was stupid. So I don't know. I told you before I went back to Paris, he's gonna be elected. I don't know if you remember.
I don't remember that.
But everyone was in denial. Everyone was like, no. Anyway, I think it's very interesting to see the reaction of the American people. Of course, he said the most insane things you can say, and it was a little frightening. But why America? I mean, America should be humble a little bit and say, maybe we got problems. Maybe we can face what we have, what kind of problem we have, and stop saying no. And I think the worst is when I hear Americans say, this is not my country.
Yeah.
What do you mean? This is not your country anymore because some people voted in a democracy for someone you don't like. That's your country. This is not my country. I'm not from here.
Well, it might be your country. You know, I mean,
I was comparing this. I was comparing the other day to someone who would go and get a blood test and they find a problem. And he would go down the street and say, this is not my body.
It's not my blood.
Not my body.
I have the same.
Half of my blood is good. I mean, so get it fixed. Do something.
I should mention, I do have a joke about that. By sheer coincidence.
Did you steal another one of Gad's
jokes? No, I told you last week.
I'm the one who's stealing Gad's.
I told you I had the joke about people every month that scream, not my visa bill and not my blood test results.
No, really?
Yeah, I do. I have that joke, the same joke. So,
and we had the other one with America Great Again. I had one before he's been elected.
I know who's not opening for Gad at Carnegie Hall.
Well, you might. I won't do that joke
like
at Carnegie Hall.
Then I show him and I do the jokes. He's going to be like, again?
Remember on last week's episode I told you that joke?
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, I do remember. Yeah. Right.
But that's interesting because we do talk about like joke stealing and stuff, and it just goes to show that, you know, you can come up with
the same idea.
Very similar concepts without, you know.
No, but I
and Gad was out of the country, so no, but I didn't see him, and he didn't see me.
No, I spoke about the great again thing before he's been elected because I said they should put people in every embassies in Europe and tell people who want to move to America that it's not that great. You know, they're working now on it to bring it back great again, blah, blah, blah. So it was not the same joke.
No, that's not the same joke.
You know what is interesting? I have to tell you about the politics. So Europe looks at Trump and they can't believe the things that he says. And they're right. But then I don't think Europe understands that when we see them banning the burqa, banning a particular bathing suit at the beach for Muslim women, we look at that and say, oh my God, what's the matter with them? If Trump had ever said that, there'd be protests in the street. You can't tell people, religious people. So.
Well, but most Americans don't really talk about that. I mean, you're a informed American compared to most.
But I'm saying if a presidential candidate said, I want to ban the burqa, it would be probably worse reaction than as anything Trump ever said.
Yeah, it would be a hostile reaction.
It would be considered to be racist.
Among those that were hostile to him anyway. Among those that love him, they'd probably be right on board.
All right, but I'm saying that culturally it seems to make sense. Now Angela Merkel is, and she's as liberal as it gets, right? And she's proposing the same thing. And through the eyes of an American, that seems very right.
Well, you haven't seen anything yet because the French version of Trump, they call her the French version of Trump, Marine Le Pen.
Nah,
Marie is probably going to be the next president of France.
Do you think?
I don't know. I read that somewhere.
I
might as well say it because if I say it and it comes true, everybody will think, wow, Dan predicted it. And if not, they'll forget I said it. So
that's true, by the way.
Yeah, so why not just say, I'm telling you right now, mark my words, write this down. Marine Le Pen, not Jean-Marie Le Pen. By the way, Marine Le Pen has a niece, Marion Maréchal Le Pen, that is fuckable.
Yeah, she's hot. Yeah,
she's
that's the
pretty.
Problem. That's the problem.
I'm sorry, Esty, if that... she's very attractive.
Nothing phases Esty
at this
point.
And I would certainly...
She's heard it all.
Gad cannot have sex with her because he has a reputation, and the tabloids would have a field day. I, on the other hand...
I was about to say that.
Yeah. I, on the other hand,
I'm sure she would be very excited to, because, you know, with a Jew and, it's a whole.
I think it's all, I think she's a softie on the inside. But
we'll find out.
Oh, they all are dead. Marie Le Pen is.
Marine is her aunt.
She's like a nativist.
I've seen some interviews with her. You know, she is, she doesn't come right out and say that this is a country for white French people, but she says that we have a certain culture that must be assimilated to, and that culture is, I don't know if she says a Christian
extreme,
culture,
though.
But
she's extreme.
Of course, she's extreme. But Dan, let me ask you this: Did you see any changes since Trump has been elected in your life in America?
No, when he got elected, the night he got elected, and I was talking about this on a previous episode. I felt very, very anxious.
Really?
Because I thought, I don't get it.
I don't get that.
Because I thought that there would be hate crimes would explode. And also, look, the guy is unstable mentally, and...
Because I don't think Gad knows this. Dan spends all day on white supremacist websites.
Not all day.
And then, why?
Is that true?
He's fascinated by these white supremacy websites. So it's distorted his whole mind about what's going to happen.
There's
truth to what Noam
is
saying. I do spend some time on alt-right websites
every day.
They're flagging him left and right. They're gonna think
that
me on a no-fly list.
That being said, I think Noam underestimates the reaction of white America to political correctness and population shifts and demographic shifts.
Yeah, well, I don't underestimate it. I feel it too.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, I think Noam has, that strikes a chord, the nativist thing, just because you feel like the identity is a big issue.
I just
want
to be one country. I don't care what color anybody is, what religion they are, but we need to feel like we need to, people to come here want to be American. It bothered me when presidential candidates were campaigning in Spanish. It bothered me. Call me whatever you want. It bothered me.
I didn't like it either.
You know, that's what we've become, you know, you know, I didn't like it, but hopefully it'll all work out.
Yeah, now you have a place in Tribeca, right? You bought it, you purchased a place. Now, is this to mean that you see your future in America, or do you see, are you going to be making, going back and forth?
No, I see my future in New York. I want to stay here. I feel good here. That's very strange. I feel at home, really, more than France, more than, I don't know, Morocco, where I was born, and I love to go back to Morocco, but more than any place on the planet, I feel at home in New York City.
Why?
Really. I don't know. I don't even want to know.
is it possible that when you're very famous, it's difficult to feel at home just because it's always,
maybe.
It's always a stressful...
Yeah, maybe. I like the
anonymity.
Anonymity. Yeah. I like to, you know, just walk around and just stop anywhere I want and sit and have a coffee anywhere and talk to people. I like when people ask me, what do I do for a living? I like it because I realize I'm doing something
good. But the only fly in that ointment is...
The what?
If the only fly in the... I'm sorry, I use an expression that you might not be familiar with. The only problem with that is when you're trying to get a chick, it's a little bit more difficult.
Which is what Dan boils everything down to.
How it affects his ability to get laid.
No, I don't boil it down. It's interesting, and it is...
He doesn't need his fame.
It is the only... what do you mean he doesn't need his fame? Of course he needs his fame.
No, he does not. Take a look at him.
To get women, you mean?
Yeah.
He's an okay looking guy.
Okay looking. Charming.
No, he's fine, yeah. But fame obviously is going to make it that much easier.
Money,
no.
Fame.
In Paris, he doesn't even have to make an effort.
Nothing.
The problem is
I don't
that
even show
he
up.
Gets, he gets.
He sends Sebastian out.
Wait a minute. He has a better read on people. Women included, without them knowing that he's famous and rich.
Wow.
How is that?
That's interesting. but it's still more of a challenge. I think Gad,
no,
you would agree.
Yeah. If they know you're famous,
listen,
it's easier. Come on. It's easier.
It's easier, but it's empty.
Of course it's empty, but sometimes a good empty...
I was about to say, women always say, oh, yeah, you're right, it's empty. like as if that's...
Listen, as a woman...
That's a real strike against it.
There was a movie...
I prefer empty.
When I meet a guy, a man, and he is witty and smart and charming...
And famous.
Okay, but what happens when you meet Gad? I'm kidding,
wait.
Of course.
I met Gad on a professional level, and that's how we are, and that's good.
Guys, I have an idea. I have an idea. Okay, I'll let you finish.
No, it's just you don't. I don't think you cash in on fame and money, because then it's not the real thing. If you want to spend a night, that's fine. But if you want a really relationship, it's a different
thing.
Well,
absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Are you saying that Donald Trump, or not Donald Trump, he couldn't get Melania at 60 years old?
He couldn't.
You had an idea, Gad.
I had an idea. We were talking with ST about the seller and traveling. And okay, here's the idea. I think we should organize a tour. And we should have what they do now, pop-ups, right?
The pop-ups.
A pop-up. I'm very serious, guys. I think we should, because the seller is not a place. It's a spirit, is a philosophy, is a way of doing comedy, is a people. So this could be done outside of the seller, and we could bring that to many cities and do a show with a bunch of comedians and the podcast. And we do a pop-up like one night in Paris and one night in London and one night in, I don't know, in Israel and one night. And we would go there and do that. I think it would be fantastic.
I told you to do that, Noam.
Actually, this is the third time somebody has made that suggestion to me. I think it's a good one.
But you thought about it in Vegas. Now, he's suggesting Paris. Do you think people in Paris would come to the comedy
show? Yes. For one night, all every comedy fans, because they know the seller, they know of course.
And who would come? The expats or Parisians that speak English reasonably well, or both?
Everyone who's interested, Parisians who are big fans of comedy. I mean, who shows
Wait,
up?
Wait, I have an idea.
Okay,
we say Gad is going to be there, and we sell out the Bercy.
And then?
Well, then what?
No, I mean,
mercy is not the
when,
Papa.
When I no one else had the idea about taking it to European cities like that. But when I was thinking about trying to figure out how to do something, you know, I'm bored, want to do something new. You know, what can we do?
Yeah.
Colbillo said, "Why don't you? You know, I didn't even know that pop-ups were a thing." This guy, my friend Andy, told me about these things, pop-ups for you, and you can go into another city, whatever it is, you take over, and you do a pop-up comedy cell for a week or two, and then you go, and it's a great idea. And what's easier to do pop-up than a comedy club, because a comedy club is really just
a
spotlight and a microphone.
Right? Yeah, but we would do the same, exact same stage. We would do the same...
The sign.
Not the sign, the wall. It's nothing. It's just, it would be fantastic, really.
Well, let's do it, Kat.
Well, I mean, well, what venue would be appropriate in Paris for that sort of a thing?
I don't know. I don't know. There are many places where we can do that. I'm sure it's going to be, it could be great. And we do London also, and we do, yeah. What do you think?
Liechtenstein? obviously, if somebody's paying me to go, I'm going.
I want to do it Tel Aviv.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Tel Aviv, they're huge comedy fans.
Somebody, of course, has to.
But you said who's going to come? Who's coming when Louis C.K. showed up and sold 2,000 tickets for one night? Comedy fans, French people, expats, American expats.
Well, but people know Louis. I don't know if people know the Comedy Cellar.
What do you mean? Well, comedy fans, they know the Comedy Cellar.
Do they? Even if, I mean, mostly, I think, thanks to you, they might know the Comedy Cellar.
No. They know through Louis' show, and it's an institution, you know?
Did you know that, Noah, that you're big in Paris?
I didn't know that, but I assumed it.
No, but I had the idea because ST talked about Just for Laughs and the whole...
Oh, yeah, Montreal, be obvious, another place to do it.
I know that on TripAdvisor, we were, I don't know if we still are, we were, which is an important website, we were the number two attraction in New York City, and that goes for tourists, so I figured, you know...
What was number one?
I don't remember.
The Village Underground.
Stand Up New York.
Yeah.
No. It wasn't a comedy.
It wasn't a comedy thing. It was
like Madame
Hamilton.
Tussauds,
Hamilton.
Something like that. Yeah, Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. It was something like
Broadway,
that.
Broadway, yeah.
You mentioned that you feel at home in New York.
Yeah.
Is there any reaction from your French fans? You know, I'm sure they might feel as though, in some sense, that you're kind of turning your back on them. You've left their country. You're performing in English.
No, real fans, people who love my work, they understand. They're very supportive, and they're like, oh, that's big, that's great, and you, I hope you're going to succeed, and blah, blah. I mean, people who don't like you, they don't like you no matter what, and people that want to say, oh, now, who do you think you are? You're doing now English. Why? Why do you speak English on social media, and why? So, you know, but fans, no, I mean, no,
well,
no.
Well, but the French have a particular kind of... many of them, insecurity with regard to English. Right?
Of course.
Because they feel that, oh, you French isn't good enough for you? I think Celine Dion had that problem.
French used to be the language of the world, used to be the international language, and then at some point English took over.
You know what? I heard it so many times that French don't like to speak English. They, you know, turn their noses up. My experience in this 1 week that I was... and say bonjour, and I would say hi, and they switched to English right away.
Yeah.
They were very, very accepting.
Because she was
very nice.
Only hanging out at very fancy places
with
me.
I was with him only twice, the whole week I was with Claudie.
Yeah, Claudie was, you know.
And I'm telling you, I was very happy that I was shown wrong, but... it wasn't fancy. We went to attractions. We met some people, you know, in Versailles.
Now they speak English.
It's a lot more.
They were very nice.
I was in Paris in August, and I hadn't been there for probably 7 years, and there was a huge difference, I thought.
Yeah.
Just in their openness.
When is the last time you've been to Europe?
My honeymoon.
6 years ago.
Seems like 15 years ago, but it was it was 5 years ago. 6 years ago. I was in Nice and Genoa and Tuscany and all three.
Those aren't in France.
Well, Nice is in France.
Don't tell him. He doesn't know.
We drove from Nice and Cannes to the first... Ventimiglia? Is that the first?
Oh, Ventimiglia. Yeah.
In Italy, right?
Ventimiglia.
And then from there up around Italy.
Your fame, is it France Or is it all over Europe?
It's Europe now, as you saw, when Spanish people or German people. That's interesting. And that was interesting in Europe.
Well, anywhere they speak French, for example, Belgium.
No, but like Italy.
And islands also, Les Îles, Mauritius.
The kitchen here at the Comedy Cellar, we have many.
Let's
West
get back
Africans.
To this pop-up Europe right. comedy
we
cellar thing.
We have Moroccans.
Well, that's from...
I like the pop-up thing.
I like the pop-up thing. I want to do pop-up... What's the big city there with the Arabic city with all the high...
Dubai.
I have friends in Dubai.
I got a great name for the show.
That'd be great.
I got a great name for the show.
Yeah.
Hear me out. Peel and Eat Comedy.
Oh, shut up, Dan.
I think it's a good idea. I think we should do it.
Listen,
but who's going to pay for it?
Didn't he offer?
No,
I'll pay for it.
I didn't hear Gad say that he's going to write the check.
I think we should have a sponsor with us. Do we say sponsors?
Yeah. Sponsor, sure. Yeah.
Like a brand or something, but like pop see. Up with, you know.
Let's see if Montreal contacts
yeah,
me.
I think
if they contact me, we can start with that.
It's a good idea.
How about that?
Yeah, I believe in that.
I mean, listen, I think it would be a lot of fun.
Of course.
To go around, be
it's
in different cities.
It's not very complicated.
With a bunch of the comedians traveling. Oh, we'd have the time of our lives.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Poor STB here booking the show. Somebody's got to watch the store.
And Dan would be headlining every night.
Dan will be opening for Harrison Greenbaum every night.
Did you hear that?
Somehow this got out from
you
under
see
us.
What
I really love the idea. I'm desperate to find
Noam,
things to do to have some fun.
Noam does sometimes get very excited about an idea,
right.
And sometimes he just sort of loses enthusiasm.
Like
very
the kitchen. The kitchen was the dumbest idea
guys,
ever
maybe
had.
We can start this pop-up in festivals because it's going to be easier. Only comedy fans, we can go to Montreux, which is a big festival in Switzerland where they have a whole... English-speaking section. We can do Just for Laughs in Australia, Just for Laughs in Montreal, obviously, and they have in Vancouver. And maybe you start with festival because it's easier. You drag, you know, comedy fans, and it would be amazing. It would be great.
Well, as I said, obviously, I have no problem with it, but I'm not the one that's going to underwrite it.
Well, it's got to pay for itself one way or another. Either a sponsor pays for it, or we sell tickets. But we're not gonna do it to go into debt. But I don't think I don't care if we make money.
I don't care.
Yeah.
But we need to.
I love it. The two people that have no problem with
exactly.
money don't care.
Dan's like, who's paying me?
That's right. We don't care because
the two of them
the genesis of the idea is not like, how can I make some more money? It's like,
absolutely.
How can we have some
need
fun?
To pay the les frais, how you say, the
expenses.
Yeah, we need to pay the
comedians.
Comedians
and
don't
the
work
travel.
For very much, Dan.
Planes and hotels.
Well, comedians don't work for very much, depending. If you give them a reason to go...
I'm kidding.
But international flights...
I think it should be a perfectly viable commercial enterprise if we sell tickets. And I think we'd sell tickets.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like anything else, you know, you give a good product and it's...
Yeah. I think Esty's idea at Montreal is a good idea.
And the risk is not huge, even, you know...
Yeah.
The risk is... Even if it loses a little bit, it
all
won't
right,
be
so it's done. Put it on the schedule.
Won't be a bloody injury. I would love to do it, but when is the Montreal Festival?
I don't know if she wants
it's
to.
July.
July.
Gad, can we?
So.
Well, Gad, somebody just sat down.
Yeah, no, she's not somebody. She's Virgilia.
Virgilia, is that a French name?
No, she's from Belgium.
She's French speaking?
Of course.
Gad comes all the way to America, and he's still macking on French chicks. What's the point of living here?
I would tread carefully.
Dan.
You don't know what you're doing.
You're a French. Your name is Virgilia? You're a French.
Virgilia.
You're French speaking. French speaking. You see, Esty, what I'm telling you? Never mind. okay. No, is it? Anyway.
What else, Dan? What else?
No, I want to talk about Virgilia, but maybe it's too sensitive.
It is.
All right, never mind then.
So I have a question. Do you edit this the whole
thing? Oh yeah, you want us to take something out?
No, not at all. I'm just
from time to time, otherwise no. If I say something racist or something, we take it out, otherwise.
Or if it's super long.
How did you find this episode, Gad?
This one?
Yeah.
Very comparing to the first one, very easy, very
relaxed,
very jet lagged.
Now, can I say something about Gad?
Go ahead.
Believe that Gad has musical talent.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
On par with his comedic ability. And then in another life...
You're saying his music is that bad?
Listen. No, in his show, there's a whole segment where he plays guitar and he sings. And by the way, Kev cannot carry a tune in a basket. He's horrible. He's funny. He's adorable. Yeah. He has no singing voice. And I kept saying to Claudie, listen to this. Listen to this. I
mean, like Modi at my father's funeral.
You know, Esty says that I'm inappropriate, yet she's...
That's not inappropriate. She's just stating facts.
He's saying she couldn't carry a tune in a basket.
Not Kev.
Kev's like a son to Gad.
Why, I'm curious, Esty, in your mind, why was it okay for you to just throw Kev right under the bus, but I can't tease Modi?
Because Modi is ours.
But Kev is Gad's.
Also, Kev.
No, I mean, he's really funny.
Modi?
Really, no, Kev.
Oh, okay.
But, so is Modi. But Kev, but he really.
You know what?
No
Kev
ability.
would be happy anyway to know that we're
talking about him.
Modi would too.
In English at the cellar. That's
it. He's adorable and he has good timing and he's fun and he's energetic and whatever. But one thing he couldn't do is sing.
Yeah, and who cares? He doesn't make his money singing, so she's not insulting. But I'm saying you're not saying anything.
No. I don't mean to.
I'm funny.
Noam Dorman?
I've noticed that that comedians with a good ear for accents and languages and voices are quite often very musical.
Oh yeah.
What's her name? On Kate McKinnon on Saturday Night Live when she sang the Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
She really sang it beautifully, you know. Yeah. As she's not a singer, and you see this over and over again. A lot of talents run between.
She's very talented. She's really, really funny.
Charlie Chaplin was a musician.
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin wrote that smile when your heart is breaking.
And you told me Chappelle was...
He wrote that.
Yeah, Chappelle.
You told me Chappelle was...
Chappelle was playing Moonlight Sonata and some Thelonious Monk. He taught himself on the piano.
Yeah, Chappelle plays piano?
By self-taught. You know, he picks out melodies, but he picks out complicated melodies.
Really?
In two hands. I mean, he's clearly musical. I don't know how much time he spends on it, but he's clearly musical. Listen to Greer Barnes sometimes when he goes into these musical.
Well, we're all frustrated because let's face it, there's nothing like music, baby. I mean, comedy, it's okay. We make people laugh, but you crank out a song that has a whole room just enraptured.
Heart,
and you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's not comparable.
No, comedy hits. Music hits on a visceral, primitive.
Yeah.
Primitive is really the word. Level.
Yeah.
Every culture has music. I don't know if every culture has stand-up comedy.
No.
Not every culture has stand-up
That's
comedy.
That's why
music is a fundamental need of human beings.
I was surprised when you said that. You know, the stereotype of certain nationalities, they don't have sense of humor. Germany. And when you said the comedian in Germany, that's what surprised me.
Yeah, of course they
Because
have.
You don't hear about a lot of German comics.
But he's big. This one is big.
Funny.
Yeah. Comedy is becoming more and more universal. It started in the United States and I guess in the English-speaking world, and now you see it, you know, now in China they're doing it. And, and if it's in Germany, it's got to be everywhere, I guess, at this point. I think even in the Arab world, like Saudi Arabia.
I was going to say, in the Middle East.
I
think every culture has jokes. I mean,
but stand-up al American.
Yeah,
well, Dubai, Russell Peters took the whole tour there. And they did the whole tour. They went to Jordan and Dubai and all the Arab countries.
Okay, guys, you know what I'm going to do right now? Well, I'm going to go and sit at the table over there and read my things because, you know, when you go on stage, Dan, that's your first language.
It's English.
When I go on stage tonight, I haven't spoken English for 3 months.
Well, you spoke English with Esty in Paris, didn't you?
No, she spoke only French. But that was a broken French, my friend. You have no idea.
What were you speaking? Was there not a lot of speaking going on, if you know what I mean?
We're going to end it.
Stop it.
I want to say something to Gad. We all have, a lot of famous people. And I have never met anybody and I've told Essie many times, Essie, it's not easy to be famous. You know, sometimes she'll have some interchange with somebody and say, you got to understand, it must be quite difficult. I've never met anybody who handled it with such grace as you, such that when I see you, I'm not nervous to speak to you.
Well,
I,
but you're
not intimidated.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't have time.
No. Okay. that's not the reason. That's not the reason, because I've met people who I didn't even know. They exude it.
But when I see you, sometimes I'm nervous. Especially when I got in here today. You looked very worried.
Because our computer server is down and we have to have New Year's emails
out. All right, let Gad go. Gad.
That's really what it is.
Gad has to study and practice his elocution.
Elocution. Yes. Thanks
and
for
remember,
having me.
And remember, it's interesting, not interesting.
Interesting. Thanks for having me on the show.
The French emphasize syllables, as
and
you
I'm
know.
And I'm going to go and work on my English jokes. Okay? Okay.
All right. Thank you for coming, Gad.
Thanks,
Take
Gad.
Care.
Of course, you're always welcome.
And don't forget the pop-up thing.
I'm not going to forget.
Okay.
We're going to do it.
All right.
Pop-up
thank you.
Dubai.
That's Gad Elmaleh, who will be at Carnegie Hall this
February 11th.
February 11th, 2017.
Who's opening?
We're coming. I know who's opening.
Who's opening?
Harrison Greenbaum?
Maybe Jerry. I don't know.
That would be awesome. Okay. Well, Danny, we're okay to end. Got anything else to add?
I would like to say that was a pretty good episode. What do you think, Krista Montella?
I thought it was a great episode.
I thought it was great. Gad's a gem.
He's a very nice man, and also he brings a perspective that you certainly we don't see every day.
That's good conversation, easygoing.
Yeah. Nice blue eyes.
And now we have a new business venture for you to focus on.
I thought the peel and eat shrimp would be, I mean the peel and eat chicken would be I was hoping it would be more of
the
answer.
You hire chefs are they want to be artists. Mm-hmm. So you know, I wanted pan-fried chicken. For some reason, he wants to call it peel and eat chicken. What? Who am I to?
No, the chicken is good. It's the name I have an issue with.
Yeah. I get it. I'm saying the name seems silly.
No, today for the first time I had it.
In the mic, yeah. Today for the first time you had it.
The chicken, unbelievably good.
Yeah, the chicken is what he made for me that I hired him. It was that chicken and the vegetable, everything
perfect. The peel and eat.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I need to order it.
And that's come out.
What do we call it? The skin and pluck chicken.
It's come out well every time, but the other items on the menu are having a hell of a time getting them right.
Really?
Oh, I think I need Gordon Ramsay to come in here and do his reality scream and yell at me to get it right, because it's not. And well, what the hell are we doing it for, Dan?
The steak I find to be quite delicious, and the burger. And
the burgers are great.
The burgers are great, and I take full credit because nobody complained about the old burgers more than me. Everybody else was content to tell you to blow smoke up your ass and say the best burgers in town. I told you it straight. I said, these burgers, we need to improve these burgers.
I'm really just surprised at the lack of Middle Easterns. You really took a lot off.
No, we're putting it back. We're putting it back.
Oh.
Putting it back.
Why would you be surprised?
I just thought that would always stay as a staple.
The problem with Middle Eastern food is that it's so inexpensive. You can't sell it for very much money.
Right.
Even if there's a high profit margin on it, you still have to sell 1,000 of them to make any money. So it really
takes a lot of falafel balls to make a dollar.
Yeah, but you need to have an add-on falafel balls for these salads or something.
That's an old saying. It takes a lot of falafel balls
to make
a dollar.
That's what you need. You need to do an add-on, like plus $4 for falafel, plus $5 for chicken.
I cannot tell you how much I'm not interested in the restaurant business right now. Comedy is going great. We have 3 rooms. They're sold out. We have movie stars coming in, and I'm worried about falafel balls. What a glamorous...
There's money.
You own the comedy seller? No, what? You must have an awesome life.
Totally,
yeah, the fucking falafel.
I get it. Yeah. I get it.
We
are now on a different level.
I shouldn't be worried about falafel.
Well, hold the phone.
A man of my position should not be worried about falafel balls.
Thank you, and a Godfather quote, Mr. Godfather quote. But part of the secret sauce of the Comedy Cellar is the comics like to hang out here. And part of the reason the comics like to hang out here is to chow down. And the better the food, the better the hang.
I told you what my idea was.
What's your
idea? We should have just left it with paninis, hired one cook to come every night and
just
cook for the comedians whatever they want.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Just whatever you want.
Too late now.
That would be great. Great.
I guess.
Dan, what do you want, Dan? We have some leftover chicken from Louis C.K. Would you like it? I'm kidding. We can make it fresh for you, too.
All right. Okay. that's an interesting idea. But also, you know, I think also if people come to the restaurant because the food is great, there's energy. And energy is also part of the secret formula.
Dan, it all makes sense. I have 2 kids at home, and I like to stay home with my kids. And comedy makes that easy, and food makes that hard. That's just the bottom line.
But you said you're looking for new hills to climb. Well, climb Mount Chicken.
That's not fun. it's not fun. Anyway.
All right.
And
well,
on that note, what?
Did you see that on the switch? Different conversation. Mo.
In the mic.
Was flying to Australia.
Yeah, we got to get
upgraded.
Mo. Yeah. Oh, he's Eric Trump. Yes. That's Eric Trump.
I actually saw it. I saw the clip and the interview with Mo afterwards.
Yeah, it was. I first heard about it from Will Sylvans, but before he knew about it right away. Yeah, it's an amazing story.
What happened?
Mo was one of our. He was on our show a couple weeks ago. He's one of our. He's our Palestinian comic. Was on a flight coach, and mysteriously they upgraded him to first class.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, he's sitting next to Eric Trump.
Oh, God.
And he started Eric Trump, you know, am I going to have to leave the country? And Eric said, no, I don't believe everything you read, you know.
Yeah,
my dad's not going to do that.
So
actually,
funny.
According to him, he conducted himself well.
Who, Eric Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's he going to do? So, but I believe
Mo was very charming.
Mo's a great guy. Hey, listen, Eric Trump won the lottery because he sat next to the world's, like, most lovable Muslim.
Muslims. Yeah. You're going to say Palestinian.
No, because most Muslims have hate Trump, you know, and who could blame them?
Right.
But Mo's just a very sweet guy, and he was able to be friendly no matter what.
No, I think we have another podcast to do.
We had to go. But I'm sure that they put him in first class knowing as a way
that
to
he'd be next to,
fuck with Eric Trump.
To poke him. And he didn't bite. Yeah. He was gracious, and this one was gracious. They said, they laughed, they had a good conversation.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much, everybody.
Good
night.
Good night.
Was it okay?